In the ninth canto, there are many stories which actually are difficult to understand. What is their purpose? Say, for example, Brihaspati impregnating his sister-in-law, Dushyanta's relationship with Shakuntala, Sunashepa and the human sacrifice. What is the point of all these stories? There are three different ways of looking at this. One is that the Bhagavatam is both transcendental and chronological. So it is transcendental in the sense that it is meant to help Parikshit Maharaj remember Krishna. But from the third canto onwards, roughly from the third canto, 11th, 12th chapters, the Bhagavatam can also be read as the history of the universe within one day of Brahma. So the Bhagavatam of third canto to the seventh canto is Swayambhu Manu. Then after that, in the eighth canto, there is a quick, rapid moving forwards, and seven Manus are described over there in a very short. And then from the eighth canto onwards till the end, it's Vaivasvat Manu that is described. And currently Vaivasvat Manu is going on. So while this is happening, what the Bhagavatam does is, it is not describing exhaustively the history. It is describing not everything that happened in Swayambhu Manu's life. It is describing highlights, and it's usually the highlights center on the descent of the Lord. So in Swayambhu Manu's, okay, he had a daughter named Devahuti, and she had a son named Kapila. And then Kapila's story goes into very long, and almost his teachings go for several chapters. So essentially the Bhagavatam is giving a chronology but with a divine focus. And while describing that chronology, sometimes the Bhagavatam also refers to some other stories in passing. Okay, in this Kalpa this also happened, this also happened, this also happened. So it's a linear narrative, and sometimes as a part of the linear narrative, some things are mentioned which are not the emphasis, but they are mentioned just to maintain the linearity of the narrative. Okay. In this manuscript, this happened, and some stories are just mentioned quickly over there. That's one point. The second point is that some of these stories are meant to illustrate how even great souls can get deviated from the principles of Dharma. So even a person like Brihaspati, who is a great sage, you know, he might also get carried away by passion. So like that, the lower modes can influence anyone and everyone. Even people who are considered very great, they can also be influenced. That is what is illustrated through these pastimes. And a third understanding is especially the ninth canto. It is explained that the ninth canto just comes before the tenth canto. And in the tenth canto, the transcendental pastimes of Radha Krishna are going to be talked about. And they are actually at one level very similar to male-female interactions. But at another level, they are actually completely transcendental. So, in order to ensure that people do not misunderstand Radha Krishna's pastimes to be like mundane lust, the canto before the canto where those pastimes are described, that canto repeatedly describes the ravages caused by lust. So there is Shaubari Muni's story, there is Yati's story, there is Brihaspati's story. So the point of all these stories is that the mundane passions, like lust especially, how much adharma they can cause and how cautious one has to be. So before entering into 10th canto, in the 9th canto, there is repeated warning that is given. That warning is there throughout in the Bhagavatam in one sense. But it is through stories and through very strong emphasis that is given in the 9th canto before the 10th canto Radha Krishna pastimes are talked about. So, in and of themselves, these pastimes may not seem very purposeful. But seen in the context, both the chronological context and the thematic context. Thematic context is to focus on Krishna Leela. From that point of view, these pastimes serve a particular purpose.